Since I have gotten to meet Charles Nayani, and I've heard about how when he gets started preaching, sometimes he doesn't stop, and I heard a couple of people say to him, "Charles, man, I could listen to you for a whole nother hour." I thought to myself, well, why not me? And so now that I know he gets to preach that long, hope you guys are comfortable. Look at my Bible. You want to know where I'm going today? You just look at all the markers so I know which scriptures I'm headed for. My boys saved me. Hey, you're going to talk a lot today, ain't you? Open your Bibles to Samuel chapter 6, Old Testament, page 479. We're going to be reading about King David and his inability to follow God. What you say? That don't make sense. Man after God's heart, not following Him. The 6th chapter of Samuel. Starting in the first verse, we're going to go down through the 15 verses there. And we're going to read about the ark being brought to Jerusalem. And we're going to find out why David was caught looking through the fence. In the first verse. David again brought together out of Israel chosen men, 30,000 in all. He and all his men set out from Bala of Judah to bring up from there the ark of God, which is called by the name of the Lord Almighty, who is enthroned between the cherubim that are on the ark. They set the ark of God on a new cart and brought it from the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill. Uzzah, Ahio, and the sons of Abinadab were guiding the new cart with the ark of God on it. And Ahio was walking in front of it. David and the whole house of Israel were celebrating with all their might before the Lord with songs and harps and lyres and tambourines and sistrums and cymbals. And when they came to the threshing floor of Nacon, Uzzah reached out and took hold of the ark because the oxen stumbled. The Lord's anger burned against Uzzah because of his irreverent act. Therefore, God struck him down, and he died there beside the ark of God. Then David was angry because the Lord's wrath had broken out against Uzzah, and to this day that place is called Perez Uzzah. David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, "How can the ark of the Lord ever come to me?" And he was not willing to take the ark of the Lord to be with him in the city of David. Instead, he took it aside to the house of Obed-Edom of the Gittite. And the ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite for 3 months, and the Lord blessed him and his entire household. Now David was told, "The Lord has blessed the household of Obed and everything he has because of the ark of God." So David went down and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with rejoicing. And when those who were carrying the ark of the Lord had taken 6 steps, he sacrificed a bull and a fatted calf. David, wearing a linen ephod, danced before the Lord with all his might, while he and the entire house of Israel brought the ark of the Lord with shouts and the sounds of trumpets. May God bless this passage to our heart as we break into it to find out how to reinstruct our lives. Would you join with me in prayer? Father, open our hearts and our minds. Give us peace and comfort. Let us seek your word where it may be found here in these pages. And let us set aside the labors that we would grow from this and go forward rejoicing and praising you. In Jesus' name, amen. I talked about looking through the fence. I guess you're wondering exactly where I'm going. Well, now it's time to find out. And also, I might add again, 2 pages. But I promise I will never, ever, 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 never tell that joke again about keep it simple, stupid. Because all I've heard this week is, "Hey, Paul, kiss. Hey, Paul, kiss." I've heard it from all over the place. I've got to learn to use ones that aren't going to backfire against me. The fair was 2 weeks ago, and as we walked around the fair and we looked at different things, it got late in the evening, and the fair is known for having great and wonderful acts of entertainment in the evenings. Personally, me, I like to go to the tractor pull, and I like to go see them stunt drivers driving cars around on 2 wheels. That appeals greatly to me. But they also have country music acts there and whatever. And I was reminded when we were walking past, as I was looking at the grandstands, there was a line that formed forevermore long throughout the fair because a big headline country music act, who was it?
Josh Turner
was going to play there. Apparently he's very popular. I wouldn't know because he doesn't play bluegrass. But it was packed. The line to get in there was packed. The grandstands were packed. Everything down in front was packed. People were waiting to get in. And if you've ever been up to the Frederick Fairgrounds, they got a great big chain link fence. And they slide these little slats through it so you can't look through the chain link fence and watch the show for free. But a lot of people were up there looking through the slats with one eye trying to see what was going on. And they were stacked deep trying to see him because he didn't have a ticket and they weren't getting in. And it reminded me of another time when I was in charge of getting the tickets for the tractor pull. And I said, I'll take care of that. And me and about 6-8 friends, they all gave me the money. And they all said, hey, did you get your tickets yet? No, I didn't get them yet. You got to buy the tickets before the fair starts. No, you don't. You just walk in there and get tickets. It's tractor pull. No, you got to buy them before the fair starts. And the radio said, if you're coming to the tractor pull, buy the tickets before the fair starts. And the television ad said, if you're coming to the tractor pull, buy the tickets before the show starts. And everybody said that to me, and I said, nuh-uh. I'm Paul Leatherman. I left my wallet at Dennis. And so the night of the tractor pull at the fair arrived, and I got there early, and I walked up to the box window, because the screen was down and said closed, and somebody opened the window up. I said, hi, I'd like to buy 6 tickets for the tractor pull, please. And the guy just sat there looking at me for a minute. He goes, do you own a television? Yeah. You own a radio? Yeah. Did you not hear that you can't buy tickets here tonight? You got to buy them before the show starts? I said, well, just sell me 6. He said, we are sold out. And so I incurred a lot of wrath that day. And 6 of me friends were standing, looking through the fence, through the slats, trying to see the tractor pull, and every now and then one of them would hit me in the back of the head. Went up to the front where I knew somebody was working. I said, hey man, can you get us in? He said, you didn't buy no tickets, you ain't getting in. You didn't listen. You didn't follow direction. You didn't hear the instructions. Now you're left outside looking through the fence. I say to you now, brothers and sisters, on that day, there's going to be a lot of people outside looking through the fence. Amen? Let's look back at this passage for a minute, because I was listening to another preacher talk about David and the Ark. And I am fascinated with the Ark ever since I had seen that movie, Raiders of the Lost Ark, you know, Indiana Jones, and he had the hat and the whip and everything. And I just wanted to go running all over Egypt in search of this box. And so when I heard him talking about the Ark, and he was reading all about it, and he was explaining something, I said, hey man, that scripture has got something written on it there where not listening, now David's outside the fence looking. Go back there for a minute to the 12th verse. Now king, note that, king. He's supposed to be the smartest man in the land, ain't he? King. Now King David was told, the Lord has blessed the household of Obed and everything he has because of the Ark of God. Why is that? Obed was a low totem pole kind of guy. If you go back to the very beginning, there's a little something written in here that nobody catches, and I didn't until I heard this preacher talking. He said, if you go back and you look, there in that third verse, it says, they set the Ark of God on a new cart and brought it into the house of Abinadab. Not supposed to do that. If you go on a little further, it says, when the Ark started to slip on the threshing room floor, Uzzah reached out to get it and he was gone. Not supposed to do that. But King David didn't listen. He didn't remember the teaching of his ancestors. Let's go back to Exodus. You're going to go through the Bible with me today. We're going to learn about looking through the fence and listening to what God exactly says, and don't argue with Him when He says, do it this way. Go to page 126 in your Bible, if you're using the Pew Bible. Exodus chapter 25, starting at the 10th verse. Let's read what the ark is to be looking like. What God has said that ark is supposed to be. Starting in that 10th verse, 25 Exodus. Have them make a chest of acacia wood. Now this is God talking. Have them make a chest of acacia wood. 2.5 cubits long. 1.5 cubits wide. 1.5 cubits high. Overlay it with pure gold, both inside and out, and make a gold molding around it. Cast 4 gold rings for it and fasten them to its feet with 2 rings on one side and 2 rings on the other. Then make poles of acacia wood and overlay them with gold. Insert the poles of the rings into the sides of the chest to carry it. Verse 15, these poles are to remain in the rings of this ark and are not to be removed. Then put in the ark the testimony which I will give you. Make an atonement cover of pure gold, 2.5 cubits long and 1.5 cubits wide. And make 2 cherubims out of hammered gold at the ends of the cover. Make 1 cherub at one end and a second cherub at the other. And make sure the cherubim of one piece with the cover at the 2 ends. The cherubim are to have their wings spread upward and overshadowing the cover with them. And they are to face each other looking toward the cover. And put that cover on top of the ark and put in the ark the testimony which I will give you. There, above the cover, verse 22, there above the cover between the 2 cherubim that are over the ark of the testimony, I, God, will meet with you and give you my commands for the Israelites. And if that weren't important enough, he says it over and over again in Exodus, Deuteronomy, Leviticus, Numbers, I will meet you there. But you do this exactly the way I said. So we go back now to David. He got all wound up. What's it say in the 3rd verse? He built himself a new cart. Hey, just throw that box up there in the back of the pickup truck, and we're going to haul that thing into the city. That's basically what he said. What are them rings for on the side? I don't know. Grab a hold of one and just shove it up in there. Now, you know what happened? They lost the ark because the Philistines had come and stole it because they weren't listening. And now the Israelites were looking through the fence. Where'd that box go? And they had lost their direction. They had lost their instruction. And the Philistines didn't want it, so they sent it back. And David didn't listen. He lost his direction. He didn't listen to the instructions. And so what happened was, somebody died, David got scared, and he ran away from it. And someone who did listen got the blessings. I did not used to follow directions for anything. Now, I know that's hard to believe because I'm such a quiet and demure person. When I get something, years ago, when I would get something, I'd just build it. I'd just grab hold of that thing and just, hey, look at that. And I'd build a model truck or something like that, and I wouldn't listen to the instructions. I'd wind up with the doors upside down and all kinds of craziness. And I wound up with nothing. How many people in this room have failed to follow directions and gotten lost? If your hand's not up, then you're not being honest. Now, let me ask again. How many people in this room have failed to follow directions and gotten lost? Thank you. How many times did I do it this week? 1, 2, 3. Hold on, I got to take my shoes off. Looking through the fence at the glory and the beauty on the other side. I never followed directions, and it led to an awful lot of craziness. David didn't follow the directions, and it led to craziness for him. A person died. If you flip over to Deuteronomy, God lays it out yet again in the 10th chapter. And you don't have to turn over to this if you don't want. But in the 10th chapter in the 6th verse, I'm sorry, in the 8th verse, it's laid out very clear. At that time the Lord set apart the tribe of Levi to carry the ark of the covenant of the Lord, to stand before the Lord to minister and to pronounce His blessings in His name as they still do today. 9. That is why the Levites have no share or inheritance amongst their brothers. The Lord is their inheritance, as the Lord your God told them. So we've got a pretty good recipe for disaster getting started. David's excited. He wants to have all the blessings. He wants to have the ark back home. What's he do? He tosses the ark in the back of the pickup truck and starts hauling home. Somebody dies. He gets scared. He runs off. He gets lost. He's lost his direction. And he gets told that the box is there at Obed's. The ark is there. You go on and read, so David went down and he brought up the ark. Now, if you go to the 13th verse, it's very different 10 verses later from the 3rd verse. It says, when those who were carrying the ark of the Lord had taken 6 steps. All right, and can you imagine David right now? He's lost his direction. He's standing over there with him. Can you see him? All right, guys, go. 1, 2, 3, 4. So, stop! Sacrificed on the spot. All right, take another 6 steps and we're going to do this again. I don't know how long it took the ark to get there, but I can guarantee you right now, it was done correctly. His direction was restored. And what do you read? They danced and they shouted and they found their direction. And I see it so much every day. We get to follow in the wrong direction. Even when something is laid out in front of us, we read it the way we want. The Department of the Interior tags migratory birds with metal strips so they can change the patterns or trace the patterns or look at them or see whatever it's going to say. And if you've ever seen one of these metal strips on the leg, and I've seen them, it says WASH, period, WASH, BIOL, period, BOIL, SURV, SURV, period. And that stands for Washington Biological Survey. Now, the code had to be changed because, as the story goes, a farmer from Arkansas wrote to the Department of the Interior to tell them, I followed your stupid directions, and it led me nowhere. And so they called him on the phone, and they asked him what was going on, and he said, you know, one day I was out there in the field, and I shot one of your birds and decided I was going to eat it. And my wife followed the cook instructions on the metal tag on that bird's leg. She washed it, she boiled it, she served it, and it was the worst tasting bird I've ever had in my life. Following the wrong directions. Following in the wrong spirit. I have followed the wrong direction many times in my life. I have to be real careful when I get to an auction because I can follow a real quick direction in the wrong way. And I'm telling you, call some of the auctioneers around here and ask if they don't have my picture with a note attached that says, sell him nothing. If you have any questions, call my wife. I go out of the house on Saturdays in the fall and in the winter, and she pats me down, and I think she loves me. Well, come here, honey. One time she said, I love you, but not like that. What are you doing? She goes, I'm checking for the checkbook. I'm going to stop you from going in the wrong direction. You know, as I sat up here this morning when we were singing those hymns, I saw something that God gave me to tie it into this sermon. And if it embarrasses 2 people in here, so be it, but it's beautiful, and I want to call attention to it. The way Anna held Cole's arm took me back to my grandma. My grandma sat with us in church. Now, she had a whole bunch of grandchildren, and for some reason, I always got sitting right next to her. I got a pretty good reason why. Her hand was always on me, and it was gentle, and it was loving, and she would hold me close, and I would feel like I was the safest person in the world. But if my cousin Harry right next to me poked me, and I reached over to smack him back, that arm would get real tight. She was there to guide my direction. She was there to keep me from looking through the fence. And I saw that, and it reminded me, and it's beautiful. We follow the wrong direction too many times. Namely, our own direction. I know which way to go. You know, they make this thing, this GPS thing, and I refuse to get one because I know how to read a map, and I never get lost. They put that thing right on the car. You got one of them things, Todd? You got one? Does it talk to you?
Yes.
The first time I was ever in a vehicle, it scared the dickens out of me. friend of mine had one. We was riding along, and all of a sudden this voice that was not in the car went, "Turn right in 200 yards. And I looked over at him, and he goes, "You know, you are such a hillbilly." I said, "You better tell me where that voice come from. I'm getting out of his car." He goes, "It came from off of here."
It's the only woman you should listen to. Well,
this was even worse because it was a man's voice, so you knew we were going to get lost. I'm not getting lost into that. See, I'm not taking that direction. Not going to get lost. That's what that thing's there for. It's there to keep you lost. 200 yards away, that voice said, "Turn right 200 yards. And I went, "Are you kidding me? You don't know how to turn your own car?" And he goes, "Well, I know where I'm going. I just like listening to it. I will never spend the money on one of them. I'll get lost. Thank you very much." We follow our own direction. We do what we think is right. We do what the world says is right. And the next thing you know, you're standing out there looking through the fence at the treasure on the other side. And you're mad. And you're hateful. And you're mean about it. I went to revival last night at Harmony because I wanted to hear Harry speak. And I was blessed to hear it because as I was formulating this sermon, how I wanted to word it and everything was going on, he opened his message up with Psalm 81, and there was a piece out there that fits it perfectly. In Psalm 81, in the 8th verse, God is saying this through Asaph. "Hear, O my people, and I will warn you. If you would but listen to me, O Israel, you shall have no foreign god among you. You shall not bow down to an alien god. I am the Lord your God, who brought you up out of Egypt. Open wide your mouth, and I will fill it. I will direct you." I love that. I went up to Harry even afterwards and said, "Harry, it was a great sermon. It gave me direction, and I'm stealing part of it." And he laughed at me, and he goes, "That's all right. I stole part of it from somebody else." We need direction. Amen. He goes on to write from the 11th verse, "But my people would not listen to me. Israel would not submit to me. So I gave them over to their stubborn hearts to follow their own devices. If my people would but listen to me, if Israel would follow my ways, how quickly I would subdue their enemies, turn my hand against their foes. Those who hate the Lord would cringe before him, and their punishment would last forever. But you would be fed with the finest of wheat, with the honey from the rock. I would satisfy you. I'll put you on this side of the fence so you're not looking through. But you got to follow my direction." King David wouldn't follow his direction. He said, "We'll just get the ark up there. We'll just do whatever we want. And even though I know what God has laid out, I just got to get it in the house. I'm focusing in the wrong way and I've lost my direction." Now, I tell you this right now, and you can laugh at me all you want, because it's supposed to be one of the things that men don't do, but I read the directions on everything I do. I got a new toothbrush the other day, and I opened up the back of it and read the direction. It said, "Brush teeth this way, brush teeth that way, and brush teeth this way." I was taking a second shower yesterday, and my wife says, "What in the world are you doing?" I said, "Well, I'm following the directions on my shampoo bottle. It said, wash, lather, and repeat." That's an old joke, but it's true. Follow that direction. Wrong way. More than once, I've had to start over or go back to the store and buy something because I didn't follow the directions. There's this fancy thing that came out. I was still a single man at the time. There's this fancy thing that came out. You could stick it on the wall and you pulled a piece of tape out and it would hold pictures up on the wall. I'd been at an auction and bought this beautiful picture of a steam engine laid up against a belt thrashing into the barn. And I was so proud of that picture that I had beat out everybody else at the auction. And I had paid the incredible sum of $1,000. And I was happy. And I didn't want to bang no hole in the wall there because there was brick behind it in the old apartment I lived in. So I got one of them things, and I walked up and stuck it on the wall, hung the picture up. Man, that looks good. It was right next to my wood stove. And if I'd have read the directions, it said, keep this thing away from in areas of intense heat because the glue will dry up. And so one day, a couple weeks later, I'd gotten into that time of year and fired up the wood stove. And I was sitting there watching a train video. It was snowing, it was raining, it was messy. And life was good, the house was hot, I had the pictures all around me. And crash! My picture hit the ground and broke the frame and glass to pieces and cut the print. And I went and got mad. I went back and found that thing and I said, oh, how about that? Read the directions. Follow the instructions. Don't be on the fence looking through. It's what He's laid out for us. I read the directions. I read the instructions. I read this Bible as much as I can because that's what it is. We all know what it stands for. Basic instructions before leaving earth. God lays it out for us. All in here in Revelation chapter 22. In the last couple verses starting at the 12th. If you don't believe, you'll be looking at the fence from the wrong side. He says, behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning of the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may go through the gates into the city. Outside of the dogs, those who practice magic arts, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone else who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright morning star. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. Whoever is thirsty, let him come. Whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy in this book. If anyone adds anything to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes away the words from this book of prophecy, God will take away from him his share in the tree of life in the holy city, which are described in this book. He who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming soon. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with God's people. Amen. And it's simple to follow the instructions. He just said, believe in me, right? He said, you don't have to do the hokey pokey. You don't have to put your foot in. You don't have to twirl around. You don't have to throw stuff up in the air. You don't have to do anything. Just say, Lord Jesus, I believe, and that's it. Simple direction. Simple instruction. You don't have to be pounded over the head by your friends going, you need to buy the tickets now. You don't have to be pounded over the head by the radio going, you need to buy the tickets now. Or the television saying, you need to buy the tickets now. And then you get up there to that booth to buy the tickets, and the man laughs in your face. And you're left looking through the fence. Our charge, brothers and sisters, is to rededicate ourselves to that direction. Brother Harry Strait last night talked about our lives, our bodies, our temples do not belong to us. And if you treat them in any other such way, you're hurting God. Because when you gave over, you gave it all to Him. And you're to follow Him, His direction. King David found out, I'm going to do what I want to do. And we'll read, you know, at some point in time, later on, he tried it again. And he was not successful. We are given simple directions, simple instructions. And nowhere is it more, simply laid out than in Romans chapter 10 in the 9th verse. Open your Bibles. 1760 in the Pew Bible, wherever you need be. Romans chapter 10. I bet you've heard this before. Put a quotation on it. Underline it. I got to get a new Bible so I can start writing again because mine's falling apart because I was dumb. But this is important. Romans chapter 10 in the 9th verse. Simple directions. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved, for it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess you are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame, for there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Hallelujah. Translation, follow these simple instructions, live them, and you won't be looking through the fence. You'll be sharing those rich rewards. You won't be wondering what's going on the other side. You'll be sharing with me. You won't be left out in the dark when that day comes. And I'm telling you, I don't know when. I don't really care. But I know that it's coming. I'm not worrying myself when. I'm worrying myself about being ready as I can be. Are you with me? Say amen.
Amen.
Do you believe the day is coming? Say amen.
Amen.
Follow the direction. Don't be caught looking outside the fence. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for laughter. I thank you for open and entrusting hearts that allow people to come and minister to them like Brother Charles. That what he had to say last Wednesday evening came directly from you. And it excited and it inspired and it inspired. It just wound us up. And so it is a blessing that we're able to be still of open heart and mind yet today as we listen to what you've said. Give us that direction. Remind us of it. Sorry. You've already given it to us. Teach us that looking through the fence is no way to be, but living on the other side is where it is all at. On that day when we're called in, welcome in, good and faithful servant. On that day when we stand in judgment and God reads everything that we've done wrong, Jesus, you will step up and say, Dad, he's mine. She's mine. And your name will be put out of that book of sin. Give us that direction. Let us not forget that we are yours. Let us not forget that we have to stop every single moment of every single day and make sure we're following you. Keep us out of trouble. I pray that you sit beside of each and every person here in this congregation right now today and put your hand on their arm. Hold on to them. And keep it there when they're leaning against you. And pull on that arm when they're starting to get away. Jesus, in your name I pray all these things and thank you for these blessings. Amen.